I'm Tom Shivers with the Vending Business Show, here with Larry Towner, who has been in the vending business for many years. And before we get going too far, I just want to point people over to the blog where you can see more podcasts in the Vending Business Show. It's amequipmentsales.com/blog. Larry has been in the vending business for many years, and he sold the majority share of his vending business a few years ago. Today, he provides consulting. And last time, well, before we get going there, Larry, thanks for being here.
I appreciate it, Tom.
We talked about the vending business, whether it's a reliable venture or not, and got into a few questions like, what's the history of the vending industry? And you're pointing out that it's a numbers game. And we also got into the question of how would you know you've got a good location for a vending machine? And you gave a lot of good tips on identifying a good vending account. What are some other good tips for finding a good vending account or a good location?
Well, good vending accounts like any business, it's really more or less a sales and marketing effort. In the vending business, you have two different areas that you do sales and marketing. One is the end consumer, which is the person that actually purchases the product that you actually get your income from. But before that, you have to actually do what's called place the machines. And in the process of placing the machines, you have to create a marketing plan. We've already talked about doing a business plan. But there's a marketing plan that goes along with that, and that is what type of accounts do you want to be in? And when I say that is, pick up an account that you have an idea of what it is that you want to be. Do you want to be in the amusement park business? Do you want to be in the apartment business? Do you want to be in the commercial business where you're in people's offices or their plants? Do you want to be doing street vending? You know, there's a very large number of types of accounts that you can get. So the first thing you do is you kind of decide where you want to be and what you think you'll be successful at. And then you go out and you actually start a sales process on getting these accounts. And a sales process is as simple as walking into an establishment or walking into your potential prospect of where you want to place your machines and basically asking a few questions. I'm big in my sales processes to ask a lot of questions about what they have now and are they happy with it and, you know, how's their pricing. And I do things like I look at their machines. I want to see what they have and what sort of products they're running and things like that. So that's the beginnings of an actual sales process. And we'll talk about sales and marketing through this whole series of blogs or podcasts, I guess, that we're going to do, because sales and marketing is the crux of all business, really, at this point. And you have to learn, if you're not comfortable selling, you have to learn how to sell a little bit. Now, that doesn't mean that you go out and you become a professional salesman. What it means is that you just get comfortable with some of the basic sales steps that it takes, you know, to get business. One of the big things I always say is consistency. And one tip that I tell a lot of people that aren't salespeople in general is, look, you don't have to go talk to 25, 30 people in a day like a true professional salesman needs to talk to, you know, in the neighborhood of, he needs to talk in person to 10 people, and he needs to talk on the phone to anywhere from 50 to 100. So you don't need to do that necessarily. You might do that in your initial stages of your business, but I always say once you get yourself up and running and you've got yourself a few accounts, if you can do as little as stopping in and seeing one or two people when you're starting in a day, and as you get more and busier, it's more like one or two people in a week, and sometimes even one or two people in a month. At the end of my running my vending business, I would spend about 3 whole days a year selling. That's all I needed to get me enough business to replace what I had lost or what had gone out of business or what had just needed replacing in a year. So at the end of my vending, full-time vending career, I guess I want to say, I'd sell 3 days a year, which was pretty nice, actually.
Yeah, that sounds very convenient, and I assume, you know, if you're doing a good job, you may have, some residual from referrals.
Referrals become a huge portion of your marketing effort. What happens is, a lot of what happens is you'll get you'll get key people in your accounts, and the key people are just your end consumers. And as long as you take care of them, you know, you're there and you're talking to somebody in the break room, you know, and they ask you for something, and you take care of them and you get them the product that they want, and, you know, or you give them a refund because they had one that was better, whatever, any of the number of things that encompass taking care of your customers, and they remember you. Well, they switch jobs and they go off to, you know, they go from ABC company to XYZ company, and they get in there and, you know, and the vendor that's there isn't doing as great a job, and they remember you, or they call somebody in their former company to get your phone number, and you'll get a huge amount of business that way as long as you take care of your customers. And so it's that. It's also that, you know, business owners talk. You know, I've got this vending guy, he's just not doing it, you know, and, well, geez, my guy does a good job, you know, same thing, here's his number. But there's a whole, really, I've always got more business from my end users. They would go from place to place, and they would drag me in with them, and especially mid-level managers in general, you know, the people that you deal with a lot, they'll take you with you. But even end users, I mean, we did a lot of stuff with truck drivers, and truck drivers would job jump, and we would end up with going from, you know, this trucking company to that trucking company to this one to that one, and it all would be one or two people, and they'd just be moving around and taking us with them. So, and then we'd go in and give great, you know, great service, and nobody, we wouldn't lose anything. So referrals do play, you know. They're really the lifeblood of your business.
Yeah, I guess. It sounded like as long as you're providing great service and you're getting along with the managers there, you're going to get referred by other people. You're going to get referred out.
You should, yeah. If you're doing it right, you will get referred out. I mean, there really is no doubt about it. And it's not all that difficult to do really well. We'll go into that in another show sometime. Just some tips and tricks on how to actually operate, you know, in a vending account per se. What do you do when you show up, and you know, actually, what do you do when you get there? We spent, you know, I don't know, 20 years figuring it out, and basically we took all of the tips that we'd learned from every vendor we'd ever come in contact with, which is a very large number of vendors, and some from other countries and other states as well. So we, you know, we tried to come up with a system that works really well, and then we also listen to the nationals and all that. But we'll talk about that in a future show. That's a whole show in and of itself. So,
okay. Well, getting back to the good location for a vending machine, I know you were going over some of the things to avoid, and you know, the things you ought to be looking for that gives you a good indication, and I imagine you have to say no, you know, a certain amount of times to you know, stores or places or locations who really want a vending machine there, but just aren't a good fit.
Yeah, it happens. It happens relatively often. There's a large number of factors that go into choosing a vending company. Much of it goes back to your initial planning, and that. We set ourselves up in kind of, I'm going to say, geographical areas. We didn't want to operate outside of a specific radius from our main base of operation because, for driving reasons, windshield time is unproductive time. And so, you know, our job really, your most productive time is when you're actually there filling machines, taking care of customers, and you know, selling product, basically, which is what filling machines is actually all about. So we always worked in a geographical basis, and probably our biggest reason for turning down business is we'll get referrals from places that are outside of our, what we deem our area of operation. You know, where if it's a single account that's way across town, and unless it's extremely large, it just doesn't pay to go do a small account or even a medium-sized account if you have to spend 45 or 50 minutes in the vehicle. Because the other side of it is that you will have service calls, and so it's, you know, 45 or minutes out and 45 minutes back just to unjam a coin or unjam a dollar bill. So that would be the biggest reason why we say no. The other thing that does come in is everybody thinks that just because they have a location that they can get a vending machine. And this is kind of something that a lot of a lot of vendors have done it to themselves. We've done it to ourselves in the vending business. You know, not everybody can justify having vending in their locations. And it has been in the past very much the case that if you got a phone call, somebody would take the account. Fortunately, I guess in this tough economy, that is starting to be less and less. And in fact, even Coca-Cola and Pepsi won't place machines everywhere like they used to anymore. And when the big boys don't do it, it means that the small guys should be paying attention and should be understanding why not to do it. And basically, it comes down to return on investment or gross sales or however you want to look at it. You can't just, if you have two people, you can't place a machine there, or if you have five people that won't eat, you can't place a machine there. You just won't do enough business to justify your costs. It's really not a magic formula. It's just a numbers game, and that's what people don't do. They go, "Oh yeah, I'll put it in there. I drive by there every day." It's like, well, you drive by there every day, but if you go there every 6 weeks or every 2 months and you pull $100 out, you're really not paying to even have it there. So you're actually paying to have it there by the time you count your maintenance on it and your wear and tear on equipment. So those are some of the things that you kind of have to avoid, or reasons why you would turn down an account. You know, basically it's not big enough. It's outside your geographic area. Back on obtaining accounts, one of the things that I did is I call them friendly competitors, and what they are is they would be people who are in the vending company, because I was primarily a small account vendor, had some mediums and had a couple of big accounts, but primarily a small account vendor. And what I got to do is I got to know some of the vendors that were around town that worked the other areas that I didn't work, because Atlanta's a rather large city, and I basically broke it up into about four or five quadrants, and I got to know a few guys that I got an account that was down, I was up on the north side. If I got an account called on the south side, I'd call up my buddy down there on the south side and say, "Hey, I've got a lead for you, and here it's here." And I'd give them the description and who to talk to and all that sort of thing. And they would go, and then they make the call on their things. But what ends up happening is if you do that with somebody and it's somebody that you can trust, he will start sending you leads as well for the calls that he gets on the north side, or however your city's laid out, or however your area of operations laid out. But that worked really well. It's kind of like a referral. It's basically a referral, but it's another way to generate leads. And plus, you get to learn a little bit of a system if you get talking to somebody. You know, how do they do business? And you learn, what works for them, what doesn't work for them. And then you'll also find, in my case anyway, I always kind of had a thing that I knew the guys that I chose did business the way that I did business. And so we rarely traded accounts. Very, very rarely did I ever take one of his or he take one of mine. Usually, if that were the case, the customer was the determining factor, not the other company. So, and I say that because a lot of people say, "Oh, you talk to the competitors. That's crazy. They're going to steal your accounts." And I'm like, "Well, no, not really, because it's out of the area of operation. They don't want to drive far." And we would occasionally trade accounts right on the fringes. But usually that was driven by the customer, not by the other company. Meaning, because they would be on our fringe of operation, our service level wasn't quite where it could have been just because of the distance involved. So, anyway.
All right. Well, Larry, thanks for sharing. Tell us a little bit about your consulting business.
Well, we do consulting. We basically, if someone's interested in getting in the vending business, I like to work with new vendors. And what I like to do is make sure that they understand what they're getting into. We try to be pretty reasonably priced. We can do everything from operational to sales and marketing to, product development, business plans, the whole thing. We can do, we can take you from start to finish, give you some, ideas of what kind of equipment you need or what kind of equipment works. And what's cost effective, what's not cost effective. We're trying to help everybody make money is really what we do, and try to be as efficient as possible. Vending, you need to be really efficient in vending to be really profitable. And so it's very helpful to have somebody that kind of knows the ropes and can give you the tricks, and that's what we do.
And people can reach you at, what's that email address?
ServiceGroupInternational@earthlink.net. One word.
Okay, great. And you've been listening to The Vending Business Show, a publication of A&M Equipment Sales.